Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. Kyle is here, not Orton. And Kyle, we are coming off of the finale to the Chicago Bears season. We've given it a few days. We're recording this on Wednesday, you know, so we've had a little time to ruminate, to let it marinate. And I got to tell you, I'm feeling like pretty positive overall. So it's a little weird to come in here and be like, well, we lost this game. Lost a close one, 20-17 in overtime.
It's
strong Rams team, but yeah, I don't, where are you at before we dig into
it? Well, it's, you know, it doesn't sting like it stung for a bit more than I kind of expected it to, because, like, you know, I think on paper, you know, you told me like, oh, they take the Rams to overtime in the divisional round. I'm like, that's a Warriors death. That's a good way to go out.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed there. Like, the only way this season could have been a disappointment was to go out to those fuckers. We beat them. We notched the first playoff win since 2010. This is an honorable, but it stung more in the moment just because I didn't expect to see, you know, if it had been 38-35 in overtime, even, I think would have stung a little less, but I didn't expect to see the Bears defense really put on a show like that. Really, we finally felt like Dennis Allen have all the pieces he kind of expected to have in the secondary for the first time, get to really play games with Kyler Gordon, and really, you know, like, put some stress on the Rams offense. And so, for, you know, when that happened, it stung because it was really watching the defense play that was the first time play like that was the first time you really thought, like, shit, maybe we really could fucking do this. I don't know. Yeah. And so that really did sting when we lost, because I had just started to think, like, man, we really do have a shot. And it stings, of course, the way we went out, specifically in that we went out because DJ Moore did the thing that we have been mad at him for doing all year long. He fucking dogged it. He quit on his route. And, you know, that's been covered by a million places. I think if you don't subscribe to JT O'Sullivan's Quarterback School Patreon, you really should. He kind of said it really well, too, when he called DJ's effort on that play disgusting. And he said, you know, I don't take any pleasure in being proven right about this guy, that he did this on this play. I'm just mad because it's always been there on the film. There's examples of it in every game. It's always been there. It's frustrating that it's still happening. And if you didn't see it, or you didn't believe it was happening, you either hadn't watched enough or you just didn't want to see it. And it's been frustrating for me because I have argued, it's not the first on Twitter, especially, it's not the first time I've said, like, DJ Moore's doing this shit. It's really frustrating. It's why I expect him to not be a Bear in 2026. I said that many times and I got people yelling at me. You know, DJ is tough. He plays every game. He, you know, how come Caleb Williams is the only quarterback he's ever played with who can't get him 1,000 yards? You're blaming DJ for Caleb's bullshit. Well, I got a lot of that. And all I can say to those people, and I know a couple of them still are arguing with me, so I know they not all have. I hope some of them do finally fucking see, like, why I have always been frustrated with that player. And it's true. He battles through injury, and he does have moments where that's where, you know, the game winners against the Packers, like, we'll have those forever too. But that kind of drives me nuts too when people point to the plays that he did do his job, and I'm like, well, you're saying he doesn't do his job, but what about this play where he doesn't? I'm like, yeah, there's 60 plays in an NFL game, and he makes $25 million a year. He's the highest paid player on that offense. Don't point to me that he played, that he did his job on 40 of them. He should be doing his job on all of them. And he's not the first wide receiver in the world to take plays off. I mean, God knows Randy Moss was famous for saying, I'm a play when I want to play. But DJ Moore does not give you Randy Moss production to justify some of the bullshit that he pulls. He doesn't even give you Santana Moss production. He's somewhere north of Sonoris, south of Santana on the great Moss spectrum of wide receivers. But I'm not going to belabor the point at this point either, because it's all been said. And I kind of have done what I need to get through it. It's just very frustrating that really, and not just DJ, but all the things, kind of like we were here last week talking about how in the first half against the Packers, it was a microcosm of all the things that had annoyed us about the Bears offense that year. The same fucking thing against the Rams, because it wasn't his DJ. On the very first drive, Rome drops the fucking football. And, you know, we're not going to turn this into the whole positional breakdown. We'll probably get, I don't know, we haven't laid out our offseason schedule yet, what we're going to do, how we're going to approach all this stuff. But we'll get to position group breakdowns and what we think the Bears should do later. But I will say about Rome Odunze, I mean, I still believe in his potential. I still believe in the idea of Rome. That was a dream once that was Rome. But he's going to need to fix that next year. And it's got to be next year. Like, after that third year, they got to make a decision on whether they're picking up his fifth year option. He's got, if he wants to be in contract extensions, he's not a young, 2 years are out. He's not a young player in the NFL anymore. Yeah. Rome is going to have to figure some shit out there too.
Oh, I was going to add the Cam Newton sound to the soundboard.
We give that grace to young players. Yes. Rome's better than Keon Coleman, but he's in that same territory now where it's like, we give that grace to young players. Next year, we can't be sitting here talking about how, you know, Rome's got so much potential, but God, if he could just hang on to the, like, it's got to change. And that was what Ben Johnson said in their exit interview today. Like, the number one focus of improvement on the offense right now is figuring out how to catch the fucking ball. And it wasn't just Rome. Colston Loveland had some drops. Zacchaeus, as he is wont to do, had some drops. Theo Benedet had a drop. I think we will give that grace to Canadian swing tackles as well. I don't know how Cam Newton feels about that, but I will say that we give that grace to Canadian swing tackles in sub-zero weather. But
yeah, you can see Caleb did not want to throw that, and Theo did not want to catch that.
No,
so
nobody wanted that to happen at the time. Yeah, no. But yeah, it was just frustrating to see them go out like that. But again, this is still just, in the long run, yeah, so many things to be grateful for, so many things to be excited about going forward. I was very mad. I was so mad at DJ, but eventually, you know, it's the, someone in the Discord compared it to the scorpion and the frog. Like, at a certain point, you can only be so mad at DJ Moore for being DJ Moore. It's not like I had any ounce of surprise that happened. And I think it's also not worth belaboring, because I get the strong feeling that that was the last play that we will see of DJ Moore as a Bear. So that's that.
Yeah, I think I understand the angst and the rage at DJ Moore. But by that point in the game, I was so frustrated with what had happened over and over throughout the game that I was just like, man, I've seen that exact route with DJ before. He did the exact same thing. And like, I was already so pissed at Ben. I was so pissed at everything that he had done in that game. I was so upset with all the receivers who had dropped passes, who really did not include DJ Moore much up to that point. It was really Colston Loveland, who just could not catch a ball in the cold for some reason. That watching him do that, my first thought was, what, do they fucking coach him to do that? Like, I can't remember the exact game it was, but we saw that exact same thing. It was either Oakland or it was Minnesota the second time. And it was the same route. And he looks at the only guy who could cover him. And it's like, DJ, you can either go up and draw the guy away or try to get behind him, or you can flatten the route out and you can get in front of him and Caleb will, you know, like, throw it on a frozen rope to you. And both times he just kind of went, I'm just going to kind of slow down and jog it out a little bit. It was, think about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of where it's...
So my brain was just like, I can't blame DJ for this. I have been upset this whole fucking game about every decision our head coach has made. So, yeah. Whatever, DJ. We didn't deserve this one anyway.
Yeah, it's... With DJ, too, I will say, like, that's, you know, never ascribe to malice what can be explained by incompetence. And those people on Twitter are like, it's just, you're overreacting. It's just a miscommunication, bro. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, if it's still a it's week fucking 20 or whatever. If it's still a miscommunication, if he's still that unable to grasp the basic fucking concept of this offense, which is, if you see a defender, fucking go to where he's not, man.
Right.
Just fuck it. Like, that's not hard. That Mitch Trubisky could make that kind of decision. He could make that fucking read. So, like, he's just not a fit either way. Either way, I'm done with the experience of watching. Even if you just want to, say his heart is pure and his intentions were good, and he's just that brick fucking stupid that he can't look at a safety and look at open grass and look back at the safety and look at open grass and decide what he needs to do, then fine. Go send him to Buffalo. God knows they need help at wide receiver. Let him just do his thing where he wiggles around and takes however fucking long he needs to get open and let Josh Allen feed him targets because he's got no one else. If that's what needs to happen, fine. But I am done, whether it's malice, whether it's incompetence, whether he dogged it or whether he's just bad at making sight adjustments, we're done with that. He's not a fit. It is time to stop fitting that square peg into that round hole. I'm really thank you for the game winners against Green Bay. Thank you for being one of the only watchable things about the 2023 Bears. It didn't fill me with murderous rage, but it's time to let that one go.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's a high cost to that. Other teams have to disagree with our assessment of TJ Moore
I think there are some teams in Buffalo, in Kansas City, a couple places that I think run very different offenses than ours that do not require that timing element and that side adjustment element. And I think those teams are kind of realizing with the way their seasons went, we kind of reached a point in the NFL, I think, where some of these franchises had really gone full Jerry Angelo with it. And they were like, the great quarterbacks will make wide receivers. And I think Buffalo and Kansas City both kind of had their seasons ended to a degree by the realization that you can only push that so far. You have to have some wide receiver talent. And so I think DJ Moore will prove more movable than it probably feels right now. And I think even if he's not, they will probably do what they need to make it movable. The comments from Ryan Poles and Bren Johnson about him today did not make me think they want him around anymore either. Some very modest praise of what he has done as a Bear. Absolutely no allusion whatsoever to a future as a Bear in the comments that they made was how I read that.
Yeah, definitely a little dismissive of like, how would you fix that going into next season? It was like, what do you mean? Like they were thinking like next season with DJ.
Next season, yeah.
What do you mean? DJ, again, really not my primary focus after that game. That just kind of felt like, yeah, okay, the game is going to end there because I was so livid with the decisions that were made throughout this game. The worst case scenario, if our coach was not a complete psychopath, that game never goes to overtime. We win it 19-17. You know, you kick a couple of field goals, just take the points.
Yes,
you just,
Travis.
Even if you're the biggest coward on the planet and you're just like, whatever, stop, kick a fucking field goal, never go for it. Even if you don't go for it and get that touchdown earlier in the game, you still would already had two field goals by then.
Yeah, I think I will give Ben Johnson a little bit of a pass there. I know that that's a bugaboo for you and has been for a while.
For years.
You are.
At least as long as this podcast has existed, Travis, I have been saying, take the fucking field goal, you idiots. Look, here's the deal.
This whole fucking thing,
this next gen stats bullshit. What they are doing is the original belief in this that came back with like Barnwell and his younger days and all these other little stats guys out there was that it was based on how good you were at that specific situation, at that specific yardage, how good your short yardage run game was, how good your short yardage pass game was, specifically based on the leverage of that situation. It wasn't just what next gen stats does, which is it's 4th and 2 and you're fucking midfield. But is it a good idea to go? Yeah, the numbers say green. Go. That's it. And then you see that stupid shit in the bottom right of the fucking TV. And everybody goes, well, you should go. Isn't that fun? That's fun. We like having fun out here. No, dipshit. This information is coming from 50 to 100 years of people who are playing the most conservative football on the planet and are only going to go for it on fourth down when they absolutely fucking have to. And they've got like fucking 3 running backs in the backfield and two fucking extra tight ends blocking for them. And it's all single wing bullshit. It is horseshit. It's all horseshit. What's going to happen, Kyle, is in 10 years, we are going to amalgamate the data from this period of dipshits going for it on 4th and 1 instead of kicking a fucking 25-yard field goal, and they're going to say, oh, we were stupid. Yeah, oh, it doesn't work. Isn't that crazy? Ben Johnson keeps going 1 for 5 on 4th down and leaving 12 points on the board. Maybe that's bad. I don't know. Anyway, that's That's my fucking rant. And this was me getting mad during the game. And of course, our Discord is like, we like touchdowns. And I'm like, I am so, we're going to lose this game because of this idiot. We're going to lose this game because he can't stop playing a video game right now. And sure enough, we need a miracle throw from Caleb to send it to overtime. And then DJ Moore runs the same route he ran earlier in the year. We get the same result. And we end up losing by a field goal, a game which like worst case scenario, like I said, we win by two in regulation. We're done with this thing. Better case scenario, you know, we win by more because we're not making all these bad, impulsive decisions when our defense is playing that well, when our defense is that rock solid. You know, it's just like, well, I just needed Lovie Smith for one game, you know.
I will say this about, I will defend Ben and then I will get mad at Ben in the same kind of thought. I will defend him in some of the early decisions to go for it on fourth down, in that I don't think there was any rational reason early in this game for Ben to believe that his defense had that kind of performance in them. I think that was unearned faith that they had, that they earned in that throughout the quarter. But literally on the Rams' first drive, they walked down the field and scored a touchdown. He had no reason to believe that his defense wasn't going to play like we had seen them play against the 49ers or the Packers early on. I don't blame him for having a we need touchdowns mentality early. But I say early because it did become pretty apparent, I feel like, by the middle of the second quarter how the defense was playing. And it also became pretty apparent that you were getting your ass kicked in short yardage all night long. And we have said this, and to be clear, neither one of us is saying that Ben Johnson, I think Travis may have called him an idiot in that rant.
Yeah.
I don't think he truly believes that Ben Johnson is an idiot.
I need this point to get through to Ben, and I don't think it will. I think he will never learn this lesson in his whole
career. Dan Campbell,
I think he will do this forever.
Well, and I think that the beauty is I do think that he will alleviate some of that by I do think he will become so obsessed with the short yardage failures that he will turn the Bears into an unstoppable fourth down murder machine like Detroit was under him.
At which point, and that was the big thing when this first started.
At which point,
in the
then
late
the math will tilt in favor of going for it.
Yes. That was the biggest point of emphasis in this, is it wasn't. Fourth and one is always a good idea to go. It was like specifically with Cam Newton's Panthers. It was, they never fail to get 2 yards on a run. It doesn't matter the situation, so just go, right?
Well,
there's context to it.
But yes, I give him some grace for the decision to go for it early on. I do not give him grace for how he chose to go about going for it as the game went on, when it was clear they were losing in short yardage. And the one thing we've said that is as great as Ben has been, as awesome as he is, as much as we both believe that the Bears have one of those guys, one of those McVay, Shanahan, God-tier coaches, we both believe that, despite Travis's rant over the next 10 years, we think the Bears have.
Yes, I think Ben is like 99% of a fantastic coach, absolutely.
The one consistent weakness he's demonstrated this year is a refusal to admit soon enough when his offensive line is losing the battle up front. And you can't ever have the Ben Johnson offense without at least some commitment to establishing the run. You have to understand that. But like, and so I'm not even complaining about first down runs, second down runs, et cetera, necessarily. But in those short yardage situations, once it's been pretty clear all night long, you're just not running the ball at short yardage whatsoever. Let Caleb have a crack at it, man. Boot the kid outside. He will make the right decision. Let him, you know, even with the 3 interceptions, 2 of which I don't believe truly were his fault. Like, let the kid get outside. Let him make it the decision. Let him do it. When you get in those red zone situations, that last touchdown drive before the miracle touchdown drive when they got stopped at the goal line, they didn't let Caleb throw it until fucking fourth down after the night they'd had. That one drove me nuts.
Yep.
Like, how much is what? Like,
that's
what
true.
Like, what does the kid have to show you that you trust him and put it in his hands? And I mean, of course, almost worth it that they didn't get it there, because I think, you know, the one thing that we will take away from this game that we will live forever, it was that fucking 4th and 4 miracle touchdown pass, one of the best plays any of us have ever seen in our lives. So I'm glad that we got that. But yeah, hopefully, I think Ben will learn from that. I mean, he showed more faith in Caleb in general as the year went along, had a glowing glowing praise for Caleb in his press conference today, said that he is Caleb Williams' number one fan. One thing I do think we will see the Bears hopefully incorporate into the offense next year more, that they started to sprinkle in more down the stretch this year, but I think they'll do even more next year, is working some spread concepts back into the offense, just because, you know, it's kind of, I think Ben Johnson, for as much as people think that people tried to say that Ben Johnson wants Caleb Williams to be Jared Goff, wants every quarterback to be Jared Goff, I think Ben Johnson has taken a little time to recognize that Caleb Williams does not have some of the Jared Goff limitations. And Jared Goff has never truly been a guy that you can stick in spread offense for 30 dropbacks a game and let him do all. Jared Goff's kind of always needed the under center stuff and the play action stuff, the wide zone stuff. He's always needed that to be effective. Caleb has become deadly effective in that stuff. I think that's always going to be their bread and butter. But I think, you know, we've had this a couple games where it's like, all right, the defense is really, they're loading up to stop you when you get in 13 personnel. They're keying on the run. They're doing all that stuff. Spread him out. Let Caleb, just put Caleb in empty and let him wing it a couple times. He's good at that too. So I think that I expect that to be something we see, you know, and that was what Caleb did well as a rookie. He struggled with, you know, deep passing, struggled with some of the, but he was good in spread stuff. He was good in short passing stuff. I sort of expect to see year three of Caleb kind of look like a synthesis of the two versions that we've gotten of him so far as a pro. As a rookie, we got the spread air raid guy who wasn't good at the NFL quarterback stuff. In year two, we got a guy who looked really good at the under center NFL stuff, but they didn't really, lost some of the accuracy in the short yardage, didn't have as much of the spreads. I'm sort of expecting to see the fusion of those two next year, and I'm really excited about that. But yeah, I like to see Ben just never, I know you're not ever going to abandon the run, buddy, and I would not ask you to, but like, recognize a little sooner when you're losing that matchup up front, adjust a little quicker and trust your quarterback when you just need to get a yard. He'll get it for you. I truly believe that.
Yeah. I mean, just, it comes down to simple football, simple any sport, really. If you're in one of those situations, the do or die situations, don't take the ball out of the hands of your best player. And of course, the guy who converted in those short yarded situations ended up being Caleb.
Yeah.
In the end, by the way, this year, the Bears ended under 50% converting fourth downs. Just a shade under 49%. Yeah. Kyle, do you know what their fourth down conversion rate was last year?
Like 2024?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, Bob.
60%. Good Lord. God damn it. Please.
Well, and that's where,
think about what you're doing.
Well, and that right there is where, you know, there have been, it's really funny because it comes from Commanders fans, especially. There have been a lot of people that think the Bears are major candidates for regression. There have been a lot of coping Viking, Packers, Commanders fans going, oh, that was your shot. You guys got lucky. You'll never get this luck again. And it's really funny because for a lot of reasons. But I've pointed this out. Like, a lot of people are, they're working on an outdated impression of the Bears from 2 months ago. Like, there was a point in this season where, yeah, the Bears were 6-1. In one score games, but that luck actually regressed at the end of the year. The Bears lost 4 of their last 6 1 score games. They ended up only 8-5, including the playoffs, in one score games this year. Justice Mosqueda, who writes for Acme Pack & Co., the Packers blog, good Packers writer, smart guy. Every year he does, right after the season, he does the one score luck regression candidates article. And so Packers fans were like gleefully waiting for him to drop it, just assuming the Bears would be there. And it turned out that the Bears had the eighth best, were tied, not even solo, they were tied for eighth best close game luck in the NFL this year, let alone historic. They are not the 2022 Vikings or even this year's Broncos, who are 12-2 in one score games, but no one talks about them like Luke's. The Patriots this year, the Seahawks this year, all of those teams have way better one score luck than the Bears, but none of those guys are being talked about as regression candidates. People insist the Bears are. And as we've talked about, some of it's, you know, it's the nature of the game winning drives and all that. But as we said, a lot of those game winning drives were in games that the Bears had been the better team for the most part. The Bengals game, they were up 41-27 with like 3 minutes left. And then, yes, they were down with 47 seconds left, but that took some flukes to put them in that position. The second Vikings game, both Vikings game, they led for the vast majority of it and got fourth quarter come back.
A number of games the Bears dominated this season. Yeah. And then it felt like, why aren't we up by like 15, 20 points?
They dominated. We talked about
this
with the Commanders game that people talked about the Commanders game as a fluke win for the Bears because Jaden Daniels fumbled. But if you look at like the statute, the Bears outgained the Commanders, won the turnover battle 3-0, had the better yards per play, had the better third down conversion percent. Like, they had all the markers of the team that should have won the game.
Yeah.
But due to some flukes, drop passes, to the officials taking a touchdown off the board, like, they trailed in the last minutes. But again, so I do think the close game luck and all the stuff that the game winning drives, I think all of that stuff will regress, like these people are expecting next year. But I think they're going to be unhappy when what actually probably happens is the Bears just have bigger leads and they don't need all of those, because this is not. So I was going back to you mentioned the fourth down luck. The Commanders last year, they were literally the greatest fourth down offense of all time. They converted 90% of their fourth down. Something like 20% of their scoring drives involved a successful fourth down conversion. That was freaky unsustainable. They were not that. They were okay. They were good, not great on early downs, but were historically great on fourth downs. That's an unsustainable way to live. The Bears, great on first down, good on second down, great on third down, very bad on fourth down. That is the kind of luck that tends to regress the other way. We talked about this in terms of the dropped passes. They probably won't lead the NFL in yards lost to drops next year. They probably won't lead the NFL in offensive penalties next year. This was a top 10 offense, no matter how you want to slice it. If you want to do yards, if you want to do yards per play, if you want to do points, if you want to do EPA, if you want to do success rate, if you want to do drop back EPA. This was a top 10 offense in every way. And again, unlike the Commanders, who were, I believe, the sixth oldest who were just literally the oldest team on a per-snap basis in the NFL. This year, I think fifth oldest last year. The Bears have the sixth youngest offense in the NFL this year. The building blocks. We're not relying on Zach Ertz. We're relying on 21-year-old Colston Loveland next year. We're not relying on a career year from 30-year-old Terry McLaurin. We are relying on Luther Burden taking the next step. Like, all of that's much more logical. And also, you know, Caleb Williams is still younger now than Jane Daniels was last year, I believe. So that comparison doesn't really hold up. The Bears are, if anything, they're more like the 2017 Rams, the 2023 Packers, I guess, potentially. They're not one of those teams that has all the hallmarkers of a regression, major regression. This is a team that has a very solid foundation to build around.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, another thing that that Packers fans like to talk about is injury luck. Like, if Kraft hadn't gotten hurt and Parsons hadn't gotten hurt, you would have been in trouble. As if the Bears did not lose, like, it felt
they
like
had the most,
every starter to
they
injury
had the most,
for
they had the
games.
Most, yeah, they had the most starts lost to injury of any team in the NFL, and most of that was on defense. And so it's really funny because, like, that defense that we saw against the Rams, that was the defense they were supposed to have for the most part this year. And so are you really... Like, if the Bears had had that defense most of the year, do you think they even have that many close games that they need to win? Do they have that many games they need to come from behind? No. If they had that defense all year long combined with this offense that was top 10, they probably just win fucking 13 games relatively comfortably.
And we still didn't even have Dio Odengbo back.
No, we didn't have Dio Odengbo. Yeah, I mean, they got Micah Parsons, but we got Dio Odengbo. So,
that's right. I mean, who's really winning here?
Yeah.
Green Bay. All right, we got Dio Odengbo coming back off.
I say Dio's gone, and the Bears went home. That's what happened there. So
that's right. So yeah, I'm frustrated at Ben Johnson. I'm frustrated at this decision making in this game, but I'm not like a Ben Johnson hater by any means.
No,
I think
he's
awesome.
No, and I think this is, you know, the least, you know, this was, we were talking to our dear buddy, Eric Scottcaster Emeritus, Eric. And I was saying, I was like, this is the first time that my sadness about the Bears losing in the playoffs is not existential, because I think in the past, I always had that feeling of like, I don't know if they'll be back with this group. But it's just sad because I'm just like, damn, I was not ready to be done watching Caleb Williams and the boys every week. That was some damn good television. I'm going to miss. I can't believe I got to wait 9 months to get back on this ride. I'm sad about that. And that's a much healthier sadness. And hey, I'm a guy who's on a lot of medications right now to learn about healthier forms of sadness, folks. So that's all
Hell
part
yeah.
of the journey here. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you said it best here a couple days ago. And you were like, man, this year we're going to go into training camp and we could just kind of ignore everything and we could just vibe and like, we don't have to be hanging
that's
every
gonna be...
word in every report.
Yeah. Training camp reports are going to be really funny because like if Caleb Williams throws camp interceptions, they're going to be like, who cares? This was literally a top five NFL offense last year. I will believe they are a top five NFL offense until actual NFL games happen and they're not, but yeah, you don't have to worry about training camp stuff. there are, I mean, there's still going to be the occasional idiot on Twitter, but I don't have to worry about someone insisting that Tyson Bagent should be the starter just because he goes 14 of 17 or whatever against the Dolphins in preseason work. I don't know. Jim Miller might still be on that. We'll have to see what Jimbo thinks.
We'll see it come to preseason.
That'll be fun to hear where Jimbo's at. But yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff to look forward. There's so much stuff to look forward to. So, and for me, I mean, I'm going to get introspective here for a second, but you know, Travis, you and I became best friends in 2001. We bonded, of course, over 9/11.
We both high-fived in the hallway.
We were cheering death to the great Satan.
Back in our jihad days.
Yeah.
Me and Kyle, that's how we met. Luckily, the vest didn't explode.
No, but I remember you and I, we first bonded, you know, we kind of bonded over the 2001 Bears. You know, I remember talking about the Bears that year during that magic run to 13-3. But then, really, especially a couple of years later, you know, the 2005 Bears, I still remember you and I just debating, like, I don't know, do you keep Orton in? Do you go back to Grossman when he's healthy or this and that? And really, I'm writing, I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast, the Discord knows about it. I've been writing a book about Bears quarterback history. Who better qualified than I, start Kyle Orton himself, to write such a book. But that's just right. Got to the end of the Jay Cutler era in that book, you know, and I remember writing about the 2014 season in there, and so really it was from 2005 to 2014. That whole decade in there, whether it was because of Lovey and the defense at first or whether it was because of Jay Cutler, you know, every year in that span, we really believed they at least had the chance to make the playoffs every year. There wasn't a season in there that we went into it at the beginning thinking like, oh, they don't have a chance. And that was kind of foundational to you and I's friendship. You know, for those 10 years, I remember it really wasn't a day of our lives we didn't talk about the Bears in some format. And that was when we started the blog. That was when we started the first iteration of the Scottcast. And I remember just a distinct feeling of we literally grew up because we were children when that fucking started. And then by the time the sadness and the loss I felt in 2014 when it was so obvious, like, that's it. This core's cooked. It's not going to happen with Jay. Urlacher's long gone. Lance Briggs is going to be gone. Charles Tillman's going to be. All these guys are gone. This window's closed. It's not going to – who knows when the next time it's going to happen is. But just that feel – and we closed up shop on version one of the Scottcast, and your daughter had just been born. My son, my first son, was on the way. Yeah. And, you know, and I didn't realize just really until this year kind of how much I really missed that era and to have it – this feeling of – yeah, I mean, I don't know if the Bears are going to win a Super Bowl here in the future, guys. I don't have that crystal ball. But what I do really believe – is that as long as they have that coach and that quarterback for the next 10 years, we'll have every reason to be here every week talking about the Bears. We'll have every reason to tune into every game. Yep. And I don't know, you get old, I guess. And when I look back at that decade where we had that and the decade in between where we didn't, and I think, like, I'm just grateful to be here again. Like, there, I don't see any reason for the next 10 years where I won't believe that we have a shot. And we won't be here to talk about it every week. And this has been such a cool season just in terms of restoring that, but in watching the Bears every week and remembering how that really feels to really be invested every week. And then we started the Discord. We built a fucking community of freaks in there. There's like 80 guys and a few women, actually maybe just the one. I don't know. I have to double check the numbers there. But even one's pretty impressive, right? For a football podcast, right?
That's right.
But we built
that's
a,
right.
We built
I've,
a really cool
I've seen the statistics. That's like that's merely 1/7 of the women who listen to this podcast.
That's right.
Kyle.
So
all right.
Just we built a cool community there. I don't know. I'm just really grateful for I'm grateful for the Bears to have this foundation now and to believe that like every season's going to be a little bit like this one going forward, to have as much fun as we've had, to have a reason to talk about this, a reason to believe, a reason to hope. So that's really cool to be back here and honestly to be on more solid footing than they were in that decade that I was talking about where, you know, a lot of our hope was delusional. They didn't really have the solid foundation that I think they have right now, because right now they do have the two true elements that you need in terms of play caller and quarterback. But yeah, I'm just excited to be back here and grateful for that.
Yeah. Wow. We're talking about like Thanksgiving. Like, what are you grateful for here? Yeah. No, I mean, I feel basically the same way. I mean, you mentioned, you know, 2014, the Fox era, the end of the Cutler era. You know, and we've talked about it on the podcast before. Not only did the podcast stop the first time, Kyle just kind of said, like, I don't need the Bears in my life, you know? And Eric is like pretty capricious about the Bears anyway. He's very healthy about his football.
Yeah, Eric has always been like, Bears suck, will not.
He's not going to watch.
Yeah, Eric is like, I will not make myself intentionally angry watching a team that I know sucks ass. And
yeah,
and
he's I know they're going to fucking suck. I'm not watching that.
You have always been able to be less mad about it, which is why I think you didn't have to disengage entirely. But I got to there. I was like, yeah. I have invested so much of my life into this shit ass football team. I'm incapable. If I care, like, and that was why it was really funny when they did have the very brief 2018 blip. I never got all the way in there. You were like, Kyle, come back in. They got a defense. They might have a quarterback, and I didn't really believe in that quarterback, and I never really let myself get all the way on board that train that time, because I was like, I don't know, I don't feel it here, but I feel it now. I think this is this time that's going to stick around, and this time we've got, like I said, I don't know if they'll win a Super Bowl. I understand there's some kvetching over whether they can, you know, whether maybe this was our best shot. I don't know, but I do think it's not our only shot. For the next 10 years, I think I would bet comfortably that the Bears will make the playoffs more often than they don't over the next decade. And we will be here at Start, Kyle Orton, to cover it all, folks.
I'm glad to hear you say that. See, normally, one of our fundamental differences, which hasn't come up on the podcast very much, is that I just kind of like to watch sports for the sport of it. Like, I just like quality sports. I will be found talking to people like, I don't care if the Bulls win a title. I just want to watch good basketball. Like, when the Bulls are bad, I don't like it. Just it sucks to get through it, you know. Like, I don't care if they win, and I think as recently as it was like a week and a half ago, talking to Bobby Schmitz in the Discord, he was like giving me these nightmare scenarios. Like,
yeah,
what if Caleb Williams is like has the exact Joe Burrow career path and like, you know, all these other things. And I was like, you know, actually, I have had this thought. My worst nightmare is that the Bears win the Super Bowl next year. And then Caleb tears his ACL right after that. And you just say, well, the Bears won. I don't ever need to watch sports again. Because you are very much like, the point is the title. I want the fucking title kind of guy.
I've sort of evolved on that. For me, it's more that, like, I sort of want the title at some point so that I can tell myself, like, validate that all of the other time spent was worth it. Like, that for me, like, sure. Especially with the Cubs, with all the heartbreak that the Cubs gave me, like, I was sort of like, I just need that fucking one, and I don't need it, but just so that I can tell myself that this was all worth it, man. But with the Bears, it's a little different. I love football in general more than I love baseball in general, and I get invested in all this, and I find it so much more interesting. With the Bears, I need a reason to hope, at least. Like, yeah. I've always talked about our little niche in the Bears world, because the Bears blogosphere, podcast sphere, whatever you want to call it, like, it does tend to very much have a camp of homers and doomers, with very little in between. And I feel like you and I've always tried to say we kind of walk like a rational, pragmatic optimism has always been our niche, where I'm like, if I have any solid ground to cling to, I'll talk myself into the Bears. And that's kind of why we first came back in the Justin Fields era, because I was like, I didn't believe in Mitch Trubisky ever. Not at any point, really. But I did think maybe Justin Fields had something. So I was willing to come back in and see how that played out. And then I probably would have exited again. I would have gone back into another retirement if they hadn't landed the lotto ticket for Caleb Williams. And so, you know, so if you have a quarterback that you could potentially win with eventually, or if you're winning, that gives me a reason to stay invested every week. I believe the Bears will give us a reason to stay invested. You know, someone did ask me, like, well, what if Caleb Williams has the Dan Marino career? And I was like, hell, I think I'd take that, you know, because sure, you didn't end up getting it, but for 15 years, you had every reason to believe you might. You had every reason to make sure you watched the game and to talk about it and do all that. So I think I'd take that. And, you know, I've really enjoyed the Discord and all the people that we found through this. I can't believe You know what? I remember we picked this thing back up after 9 years, and I was like, who the fuck's going to listen to this? But we were going to do it anyways, just for fun. And it started out small, and now it's, you know, we picked up the, you know, and people are, you know, I was in Chicago this weekend. I didn't go to the Bears game, but we went, took the boys to the Museum of Science and Industry there, and just being in Chicago and seeing the whole city, feeling the energy there, the way everything, like, it, life's just better when the Bears are good. I got to be grateful just for that, because it's a cool feeling, you know, to be a part of that. So yeah, I mean, I think, and I don't think this is just hope, and I don't think this is just cope, but I think there's lots of reasons to be excited about, you know, Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, where this goes, the young players on offense, where this goes from here. But yeah, I'm just most excited that, like, I think for the next 10 years, we're in it, folks. So strap in.
Hell yeah. So, all right, that got a little reflective there, but we haven't mentioned one name that we really need to mention before we're done with this. Maybe we talk a little bit about offseason plans. Maybe we talk about some other things. We haven't said the name Kyler Gordon yet, and holy shit, is this a different team with Kyler Gordon on the
field? I'm almost mad that that game happened, because I had, you know, talk about, we had just had a nice long introspective conversation about Kyle emotionally checking out of things. I had emotionally checked out of Kyler Gordon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now it's like, fuck, man, why did you have to do that? Because I didn't want to be reminded that, like, actually this defense needs Kyler Gordon, and he's a very good player. Yeah. And I'm back in the case of, I'm going to be sitting there all training camp next year being like, please God, that's the only piece of training camp news I think I will care about next year, is if I hear that Kyler Gordon is missing practices with soft tissue bullshit.
Please stay healthy. God, we really had, we had worked a long time over the season to be like, we can do this without Kyler. We don't need Kyler.
I don't need you. I don't need Tevin Jenkins. I don't need anybody.
Yeah. We can pretend that he doesn't exist until he appears. It's just a nice bonus. And then you get this. And his presence on the field, the ways that Dennis Allen can use him, shut down the Los Angeles Rams basically completely. I mean, I just, like, it's so frustrating, because I know going into next year that he is going to get injured. You know, it's just so much more likely for him to get hurt. And with Tevin, it was, well, having him out there is nice, but honestly, Tevin isn't going to fix this offensive line, right? At the time, it wasn't like a do or die thing. With Kyler, it's like, it's the Bob Sanders difference, it feels like, with this defense. It's, he's off the field, and you feel like, God, maybe we'll never get another stop again. He's on the field, and you're like, well, this is like a Super Bowl defense, man. Like, Dominique Robinson is out there blowing up plays. We've got Montez Sweat looking like Montez Sweat again. It's just this domino effect that he creates.
It was great,
but it was fucking, it's so hard to lose that game, because you just, now you have to wonder about his health again all offseason.
We'll get into, as we get closer to free agency, I think we'll figure out how we're going to project the moves the Bears should make. And I think one thing you can tell from listening to our previous free agency previews is that we will be wrong about everything.
Yes.
We won't even be close. Like, not even, like, do you want to know?
We knew last year we'd get a Chiefs guard.
Exactly. We didn't. Neither of us predicted Jonah Jackson. We did predict Drew Dahlman,
which was a shock to everybody.
Everyone.
Nobody else had that one.
We'll be wrong about free agency. That's for sure. We'll do free agency draft coverage. I need to start the spreadsheet. I need to fire it up. The time has arrived. Dante Moore just made my job easier by trying to duck the New York Jets for a year. So I'll only have a couple names I need to put in at first.
That's right. So usually, Kyle, when the Bears season is done, we have like a long time before the draft, right? Because they're usually in the playoffs. They haven't been.
No.
Since we restarted the Scottcast, this is the first time.
And in fact, usually we didn't even record episodes in December, because I was just too tired of that fucking shit. So
that's right. So instead of having all that time now, we've got like 3 months, maybe 12 episodes between now and the draft.
We're going to have to do some tight plotting. And, of course, we'll reach out to our buddy Quentin Krishko, see if he wants to come on to talk about offensive linemen again, because I really enjoy doing that. We'll see. I we probably won't do. I'll have to do a whole episode on quarterbacks for this year's draft, because I think it's going to be like Fernando and Ty Simpson, and I maybe a third, maybe a secret third guy. I saw someone today say something about Cade Klubnik as QB3, and I was like, Christ, I am happy I am not out in those streets right now.
Yeah, it's so nice. We talked about it last year, but like to not give a shit about the quarterbacks coming into the class.
Last year there were probably some people who were like, "Oh, you guys think you're not in it, but you'll be back there next year because Caleb's a bust." So really, truly, this year to be like, "Yeah, man, I don't have to worry about quarterback for a decade." And also, happy to see Caleb get to enjoy the fruits of that too, because you know it was so exhausting.
Yes.
Last year, and even up through the early stages of this year, anytime you tried to have a conversation with Caleb Williams, you just had to listen to the loudest, most ignorant assholes just say the most negative shit about him being a bust and blah, blah, blah. So now I think to Caleb to feel that energy shift to the city, and he gets to go to the Blackhawks game and the Bulls game, hang out with Pete Crow Armstrong, be the king of the city. And he's fucking earned that, man. I'm glad that he's getting the love he deserves on the street. And it's just cool to, you know, to have a quarterback in Chicago be – part of that. And Courtney Cronin had a really great question to him about, you know, did he take pride in the fact that people are painting their nails and there's a matcha drink and all this stuff. And he was like, yeah, that's, you know, that's part of the reason why I thought that I could do it here, which was a really good answer. Cause we know, you know, the leaks that his dad didn't want him to come here and thought about pulling it out. And that we know that it was Caleb specifically who stuck his foot down and said, no, I want to go there because if I can be the guy there, it's more important than being the guy anywhere else. And I think he's starting to see the truth of that, the impact he's had. And I think it's only the beginning. So, you know, he's going to rule this city, like you're going to rule the city like a king. So I'm excited for him there too.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So later on, definitely some free agent talk, draft talk coming up. I feel like next week we had requests, to do report cards like we did last year. And I think that could be fun for
actually,
seasonal.
Did we even do that last year? I think we did that 2 years ago. We did positional group
breakdowns.
It was
2 years ago. Yeah. Last year, we were way too
well,
involved.
You want to talk about getting reflective. Folks should go back a year ago and listen to the episode right before they hire Ben. And the journey you and I go on in that episode, where we start out a little optimistic that maybe Ben Johnson could still be the hire. And by the end of it, I think we've sort of talked ourselves into believing that they're going to hire Mike McCarthy. And we're both so goddamn upset about it.
We got off of that episode and we were like practically crying to each other.
That is
like,
by far the funniest episode to listen to.
We're going
to
do it again, aren't we?
In hindsight, because you can just feel the trauma in that. Because we start out being pragmatic optimists. We're like, hey, man, Ben Johnson's still in the playoffs. That doesn't mean anything that they haven't hired him yet. And then it's just like, oh, God, they're going to hire Mike McCarthy, aren't they?
We were just like so certain by the end of it. We were it's going to be the worst thing we could have done. I know it. I just fucking know it.
That episode was like reverse therapy. It was the first time in a long time, in months, that I'd gone into a room to talk about my feelings and made myself worse by the end of it.
Ben Johnson, so.
You want a good laugh? You want to see how far we've come in a year? Go back and listen to that episode, because I listened to it the other day and I was like, oh, God, man. We were really going through it.
We got so upset, man. We made each other so sad. That was a very, very depressing night after that. Like, it only got worse. It got like we hit end on the record and then we immediately felt.
Yeah, I remember, and I was in the grocery store when the Ben Johnson push notification came through, and I remember you just texting me like, "Thank God!"
Just like this huge sigh of relief, like we did. Yeah. How could we possibly have actually done this thing? But yeah, I mean, it's just so nice to have this feeling at the end of the season, and you could see it even after the game. Like initially, the stadium was crushed. But so many fans stayed after.
The way the standing ovation for them as they're walking off the field. I mean, it's just they went out with their boots on, man. It's really all you can say, really all you can do. And I remember the energy was very different, I felt like, after the double doink. I think that for whatever reason, there was just – I think there was that feeling that, like, I think we just blew our shot with this group.
Yeah.
And I don't have that feeling now at all. Don't think you should have that feeling now at all, Pat. And so I think Sorry, it's a weird vocal stem I do sometimes.
Speaking of which, that's another thing we're doing this off season. All right, we're bringing Pat on. We're gonna do our nails. We're gonna get in our robes and we're gonna do a beautiful reading of Ty Dunn's off season.
I think I need to read the Ty Dunn article again. And I think what I want to do is I want to transcribe sections of it and convert them into like a scripted scene.
Yes.
And we'll do a couple as a table. I need to go through and do that because I think there's some good stuff. Yeah, we have a lot of it. That's probably something for the summer when we have a lot more free time.
For sure.
That's
for
a good idea. Yeah, we'll have fun this off season. We always have fun in the off season, but for the first time in the history of this podcast, the off season is not the most fun part of
that's
this
right.
podcast. But we do have fun during the off season, folks. So if you are one of the many, many, many new listeners that came along during this regular season, welcome aboard. If you guys want to join the Discord, email Travis at Start Kyle Orton?
It's startkyleorton@gmail.com. Very easy.
And
yeah.
I won't do a funny riddle this time for admission. Just message, email Travis, tell him your favorite moment of the 2025 Bears. If you want the link to the Discord, what was your favorite one? Join us there. We always have a great time. But yeah, we'll have a good off season. We are by far the best in draft coverage, obviously. We're very good at it. It's very important. We called Darnell Wright from a mile away. So still happy about that one.
Yeah. We are also, another thing I wanted to do before the draft, we are finally in the pick up your fifth year of your contract, of a rookie contract year for the very first draft.
For the very first draft class. We'll go back. We can go back and look at it. Yeah. We'll have to go back and look at some of the, we'll get to do scoreboard on Tyree Wilson. That's for fucking sure. We called that.
Yes.
One.
And I'll have to be very sad again about Anthony Richardson.
You will.
But I can see what I said about Bryce Young, and then we'll piss off all the Panthers fans again.
You know, it's kind of funny to go back and listen to that episode too, and the stuff I was saying about Bryce. I remember the exact, because I remember now we're really meandering because we're talking about Bryce Young memories on this podcast. But you know what? The season's over. You guys can't. What are we going to do? We're winding down the season. This is what we
it's
do
our
now.
Fucking podcast. It's our fucking podcast.
Welcome to the off season, motherfuckers. I get to wax nostalgic about whatever the fuck I want. I remember the Bryce Young thing. Cause I remember like, I had only really watched Bryce in a couple like ESPN games. And I remember liking the cut of his jib a little bit. Well, I hadn't really sat down and seriously watched him. And I remember there was a series I think it was against Texas where they were backed up in their own end zone. And there was like a three play sequence. And I remember watching that and immediately lowering my prospect grade of that guy by like three whole points, because I was like, that dude cannot throw the ball if he can't step up four times and hitch like that. He's backed up in his own end zone. He has no space whatsoever, and all three balls just die and dirt in the ground 8 yards in front of him. And I was like, that should not be the first overall pick. So we'll get to talk about him. Yeah, well, 3 years in, we'll get to talk about our quarter. Yeah, I've got a lot to say about Bryce. You know, I gave Bryce Young kind of a pass in the quarterback rankings episode last year. I didn't talk about him very much. I didn't think I needed to talk about him, but apparently, you know, some Panthers fans need some lessons learned.
Kyle, the worst thing you can do in our society right now is just type out an actual mathematical, statistical fact.
Yeah.
And put it out into the fucking universe. Yeah. Because if you do that, people will threaten to kill you and your family.
I say this a lot because it's really funny, because I used to be such a dick on Twitter. Yeah. I really was. Like, I was a strident asshole in my youth. And I've learned to be a much nicer person, and yet people get way more angry at me now simply for tweeting stuff like, Jaden Daniels has the highest scramble rate I've ever seen. I think that could be an injury risk. Simple sentence, shouldn't get death threats, shouldn't have people threatening to assault your wife, but it does for some reason. You know, saying, you know, boy, Bryce Young sure has started 40 NFL games and passed for fewer yards in those 40 games than anybody in the last 30 years, that seems like a problem. That'll get people very mad at you for some reason.
Right. So, you're going to be tied to a radiator in a basement for that one.
Very
Kyle.
Interesting the way people react about that. I think the funniest one was earlier this year. I didn't know it was controversial to point out that Michael Penix is, in fact, older than the average.
You can't do that. Kyle, you cannot discuss a man's age in this day and age. So, do not do it.
You know? So we'll, yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll make a lot of people very angry about their young core. And that's really, that's Godcast tradition, because God knows we were there to tell the Justin Fields copers when it was time to let that one go, and we made people very angry. So that's what we're here to do. We're here to tell you why that guy that you're hanging on to, that quarterback you're hanging on to, you need to let him go. So, but we do it with love, mm-hmm. you know, because we're Bears fans, and we have been delusional about quarterbacks before, and that's how we've learned the signs. That these are hard-earned lessons, but we're not delusional about Caleb Williams, folks. You've never seen that before. This one's good, and life is great because of it.
Goddamn right. September can't get here soon enough, man.
No. But you've got 9 months of great Scottcast content to keep you occupied until then. Tell your friends.
Oh, my God. It is going to be so lit. This offseason will be the best offseason ever. This will be the fourth year in a row we're offseason champions.
What
somehow.
Are you going to do, Travis? We got to wait till the 25th pick in the first round. You're not even usually awake by that point in the draft cast. You're like,
Kyle,
you're
I'm going to be honest.
Dozing off. You're muttering obscenities.
I expect that by the time we get there, the Bears will have no picks in the first round this year. We will just be casting other people taking
That's
picks.
True. That pick could be Max Crosby. So we'll just spend the entire draft cast going, Max Crosby, great pick. I love Max Crosby for the Bears.
It'll be us telling Nick that the Bears beat the Packers twice last year.
That's true.
Making Nick, fun of Matthew Golden.
Yeah, we would be, hey, and he got a touchdown. He got one. So.
He finally tied Caleb Williams as far as total touchdown receptions on the 2025 season.
But he is trailing
season.
Jadae Walker, so.
Of course he is. All right, Kyle, let's get out of here. Yeah, next week I think report cards.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we'll do a little year in the review. It's going to be even sunnier than it was this week, and yeah, well, we'll get together. We'll get the Scottcast crew, me and you, and we'll see where Eric's at, and we'll get kind of an outline of what we're going to do over the offseason,
yeah.
I guess.
Yes.
Fuck it, we'll do it.
Fuck it. Way out on that bumper floor. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago. I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.